The Chafetz Chaim mentions in the book where he speaks about the philosophy behind it. What would you do if I make you an offer? I'm going to take you into the Beis Medrash, and I'm going to take you up to the Aron Kodesh. I'm going to take you to the Ark in the Beis Medrash, to the Holy Ark. I'm going to open up and expose the Torahs in the Ark, and I want you to start saying negative things about the Jewish people in front of that Ark. In front of that open Ark, I want you to talk about the flaws of the Jewish people. Would anybody here do that? I want you in front of an Ark to tell God all the flaws of the Jewish people. No one in their right mind would do such a thing. When a person speaks, remember the way God runs the world is mita keneged mita. And mita keneged mita means measure for measure. The way we behave down here, that's the way God treats us upstairs. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, he is giving strength. He is fueling. There's an angel, the Mekatre, what we call the angel of death, the Malach HaMavis, the Malach HaMavis, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, the Satan, Satan himself, which we believe in. They're all one. That's all one angel. A person who speaks Lashon Hara down here gives that angel the power to prosecute the Jewish people. If you down here, or if we down here, are saying things, we're taking the Jewish people to task down here, we're finding the flaws in the Jewish people down here, that angel is given strength up there to find the flaws of the Jewish people. And therefore, a person who speaks Lashon Hara down here, it is as if he is giving that angel strength to prosecute him. Now, the statement that the Talmud makes, that Lashon Hara, if you take the three cardinal sins, right, there are three cardinal sins, idol worship, immorality, and murder. Those three cardinal sins we've mentioned before, a person is required to give up his life rather than transgress. Do you have to give up your life rather than transgress the word of life? Let's say a guy pulls a gun on you. Say something derogatory about Bernie. Right? What would you like to know? Personal life, business, anything you want. Let me know. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Perfectly, not only permissible, required, according to Halacha. According to Halacha, you've got an obligation. Doesn't say anywhere you have to give up your life not to speak Lashon Hara. Yet the Talmud says that the sin of Lashon Hara outweighs all three cardinal sins. The sin of Lashon Hara outweighs all three cardinal sins. Now, there are two explanations for that statement. Right? It's an amazing statement. How can you make such a statement for the halacha doesn't require it? There are two explanations for that statement. First of all, Lashon Hara is non-physical. It is a non-physical type of avera. The same way that the greatest mitzvah a person could perform is Torah study, because Torah study is a non-physical mitzvah. That means tzitzis, you need something physical. Tefillin, you need something physical. Lulav and Esrog, you need something physical. The most non-physical mitzvah is studying Torah. The more spiritual the mitzvah, the more spiritual potency it has in the heavenly spheres. Therefore, the same way that it holds true for mitzvahs, by the same token it holds true for averas. And therefore, the sin that a person makes use of his mouth, he sins with his mouth, which is a completely spiritual type of sin, that sin has a tremendous potency in the spiritual spheres. Okay? Now, that's explanation number one. Explanation number two is I told you that by speaking negatively down here, a person gives fuel to the prosecutor up there. A person could have committed all three cardinal sins. If a person lives his life and has committed all three cardinal sins, and after he dies, he goes up there, and he's in divine judgment. If he has been meticulously careful with his mouth, his entire life, the guy's an idol worshiper, that's not likely. It's not very likely that the guy is going to be if a guy's a murderer, and he speaks, and he's an adulterer, and an idol worshiper, it's not very likely that when somebody comes to tell him something about Bernie, he says, oh, sorry, he's in the middle of blowing someone away, and he says, oh, sorry, I can't hear that Lashon Hara. Not very likely that's going to happen, right? On the other hand, in the theoretical possibility, that if a person has lived his life meticulous about every word that comes out of his mouth, yet he's committed the three cardinal sins in the prosecution. I think I heard Rabbi Tatz once was discussing this also. This is the Chafetz Chaim brings this down. In the eternal prosecution, up above, when a person is giving an accounting for his lifetime, the prosecutor will go easier on him because the prosecutor has less strength. The prosecutor has less strength because the individual has given the prosecutor less strength. If the individual has lived the life of speaking Lashon Hara, he has fueled his own prosecutor. Therefore, Lashon Hara is compared, the Talmud says that Lashon Hara outweighs all three of the cardinal averas. There's another idea here. Person davens, right? Very often I've heard people say, you know what? I davened and Hashem hasn't answered me. I davened and Hashem just doesn't answer. It's not true. Very often Hashem does answer. He says no. And sometimes we ask for things and Hashem doesn't want to give it. Just the fact that God doesn't give us what we want doesn't mean he's not answering. It means that he feels that maybe we're not worthy of it, or he wants us to daven a little more. Very often, a person who davens, he's blocking his own, the potency of his own davening, with the way he uses his mouth outside of the shul. When a person speaks, we've been given by God, we've been given the utensil for spiritual growth. That's our mouth. We can use that mouth for prayer, we can use that mouth for Torah study, we can use that mouth for kindness. If a person takes that utensil and he soils the utensil, then the utensil loses its potency. So if a person goes to daven and he's using a mouth that's full of spiritual manure, so how potent could his davening possibly be? The words that come out of his mouth when he davens become soiled. When a person learns Torah, his Torah becomes worth less because his mouth is a soiled mouth. Therefore, the Talmud says that one of the consequences of speaking Lashon Hara is that one's davening and one's learning is less potent. Now, the problem is that it seems like it's absolutely hopeless, right? That's the attitude of most people. Like, come on, give me a break, right? How could I possibly live my life without talking about people? Let's be real. How could I possibly live my life without, it's the most common thing people talk about, it's what my friends talk about, how could I possibly succeed at this? We'll take a look at a few ideas how to succeed. First of all, how to avoid Lashon Hara. First of all, the first step is to recognize why it is we speak Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is triggered, for the most part, by arrogance. Right? The easiest way to elevate ourselves is by pushing down on somebody else. We want to lift ourselves up. I can lift myself up by pushing down on somebody else. When I speak, when I say anything negative about somebody else, it's very often that people go, I'm better than he is. And that's why I'm saying such a thing. Therefore, the first cause, the first thing to work on is our character traits. All character traits, whether it's arrogance, anger, envy, whatever those character traits are, the first step, the first causes that bring us to speaking Lashon Hara are the flaws in our character. That's number one. Number two, a person has to begin judging people favorably. Judging favorably, we're going to do tomorrow, Bezras Hashem, how to judge people favorably, how to give people the benefit of the doubt. Some amazing stories where you'd be surprised that where it looks, the situation looks one way, and the truth of the matter is something completely different. We are told that if we would judge people favorably, then it would be easy for us not to speak Lashon Hara. Let's say, for example, somebody pushes you in line. Right? Somebody pushes you in line, somebody behaves inconsiderately at the table, whatever it is. If you were to, you then go and say, you know what this guy did to me? This guy grabbed my food at the table. Right? And that's the derogatory statement. Now, it's prohibited because not for beneficial purpose. If I were to think about his background, perhaps he grew up as one of 11 children, and they only used to put out enough portions for 10 at every meal, right? And that became ingrained in his personality. Then his behavior is a little more understandable, isn't it? I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy having my food taken away, but his behavior becomes a little more understandable. If a bus driver, when you get on the bus, the bus driver yells at you, the bus driver closes the door on your head, right? The bus driver does anything that is considered an unpleasant experience. So instead of going and telling somebody what the bus driver did, think to yourself what the bus driver has been going through today, right? Perhaps everybody getting on the bus has been yelling at him today. He's in a rush, he's behind schedule, he's had a hard day. If we judge him favorably, then the urge to speak Lashon Hara will be reduced, right? If somebody who is mentally unbalanced were to do something, somebody who's mentally retarded were to walk over to you and pour water all over you, would you get upset at him? Is there anything to talk about? Oh, you know what that guy did to me? There's nothing to talk about, because obviously the fact that he's mentally unbalanced, he's not to be blamed. When we judge somebody favorably, that means we're trying to find a reason why the blame should be reduced. Once we reduce the blame, then the urge to speak Lashon Hara diminishes. Mike?
Well, written words. About written Lashon Hara. You're reading something that somebody has written, what if they made it?
Absolutely prohibited. absolutely prohibited. You have to be very careful not to. You're not like any letter that you write and anything
authors,
that you read, huh?
Newspaper for books.
You have to be very careful about it. Newspapers, the fact that a newspaper goes and writes, there's a newspaper here in Yerushalayim, which I call the official Lashon Hara magazine of Yerushalayim, right? It's one of these gossip papers. What purposeability is it?
If you're reading a novel, if you're reading a novel for entertainment, I mean, are you considered, is that an affair for reading something that might
be... As long as the novel's clean. If it's not a smutty novel, then you're allowed to read it, theoretically. If there's Lashon Hara in the novel, you mean?
Yeah.
About fake characters?
Yeah.
No, no.
That's
not a
problem.
Roll.
If you're talking about politics,
it's going to be tough.
If you're talking about a party, or if you're talking about a group in particular, and you're not being specific as to who in the group, but just that group in general.
It's a very touchy situation. The truth is that if somebody's a sinner. Right. If people are sinners, then the laws of Lashon Hara, the restrictions don't apply. People are known sinners. But if somebody is just your opinion, and it's not really for a beneficial purpose, and it's only your opinion about a certain politician, you know, I think that guy is a shyster, right? That would be prohibited.
No, I mean that. I mean, if you're discussing how it should be done, I mean, and when you're talking about politics, you know, say whoever you're talking about, you get very, very angry and you can say something derogatory as to...
So if it's not for a beneficial purpose, then you're not allowed to say it. Even something as, it's even talking about ball players, you know, ooh, this guy stinks, you know, or this guy, he's lousy, you know? Theoretically, it's not permissible. The only thing is that it could be that that's understood, that that's part of what he's accepting. There was I have a friend, I told you, there's a guy who broadcasts for Kol Yisrael. He does the English broadcast, right? Now, he asked the halakhic authority, because very often in news broadcasts, you do have to read, the chief is giving you the news to read, right? And you've got to read this news over the radio, right? Now, lots of people are hearing you, and very often the news is not complimentary. What is he allowed to say? What isn't he allowed to say? So I know that he asked a halakhic authority before he took the job. And the halakhic authority told him that under the circumstances, since by him reviewing, he reviews the news before he goes over it, and therefore he's allowed to make certain changes, since he has the chance of being able to reduce the amount of Lashon Hara that will be said over on the radio, and anyway, if he doesn't do it, someone else will be doing it, and it's his livelihood that's on the line, so a combination of these factors, there is a leniency available, he's allowed to do it. Dima asked yesterday about somebody who's got a job as a critic, right? Let's say a book reviewer. So I spoke to Rav Samet about this. Rav Samet's an expert in the laws of the Lashon Hara, and he said that it could very well be, what I had mentioned to you earlier, that it could very well be that you wouldn't be allowed to do the job. The halacha is that if you're doing an aveira, somebody offers you the same situation, somebody pulls a gun on you, right? Or without the gun. Somebody walks over and says, Jew, I'll give you $1 million to take a bite out of a cheeseburger. Right? $1 million out of a bite. Hey, I'd do it for $100,000, right? He says, I'll give you $1 million to take a bite out of a cheeseburger. You know the halacha is you're not allowed to. And even though with that $1 million you're going to give a lot of money to Or Sameach, and you're going to give some of the money to Kaplan at Or Sameach, and you're going to go build the yeshivas and make charity organizations, you've got a whole list of what you're going to do with $1 million, you're not allowed to do that. Not only that, if he says, Jew, if you don't take a bite out of the burger, I'm going to take away all of your money, then the halacha is you've got to allow all your money to be taken and not do the aveira. And if somebody comes up to you, if your boss says to you at work, Jew, if you don't work for me on Shabbos, or if you don't eat the cheeseburgers that we serve in the cafeteria, I'm going to fire you from your job. The halacha is that you've got an obligation to allow yourself to be fired from your job. So not every job can be done. If a person's a book critic, and I'm not paskening, if a person does get a job being a movie critic, right, or a book critic, whatever it is, that you're a reviewer, you'd have to speak to halachic authority to find out what all the possibilities are. But theoretically, it could very well be that where your job is to write derogatory information, and then remember, this is after a book has been printed very often, so there's no beneficial purpose, right? Very often it's just, you're criticizing, right? And you're going to hurt the author who may be making a livelihood. Chances are you're not allowed to do such a job. It could very well be you're not allowed to take such a job. Not every job is permissible. If you want to be an airline pilot and that's going to involve flying on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take the job. A lot of Jews through history have there been a lot of jobs that Jews haven't taken. So the same way you can't take a job that will involve Shabbos transgression, you cannot take a job that's going to involve a Lashon Hara transgression. Bro?
Couldn't you look at it that the people who are going to read your critique are basically, it's understood in advance that they are asking your opinion for the quality of the work that this person is doing, and so you're just giving their honest opinion as to the quality of the work?
It could be. It could be that some people just happen to be glancing through the book review section of the newspaper and say, oh, this is interesting. Wow, did they blast him? And then they're affected, yes. Right? And they're affected just what we call lefituma. By the way, they've been affected. You know, they had. So even if somebody asks you an honest opinion, why are you asking an opinion? Am I going to affect your... There are a lot of factors to be weighed, so it could be you can't take such a job. Yeah?
Are you saying that G should not be reading book reviews?
Oh. Or am I saying you should not be reading book reviews?
Particularly if it's an academic listening and we need... searching for books, it'll be appropriate.
No, then you're reading it for a beneficial purpose. Okay. But you have to know.
But the people who are writing these book reviews are doing it for it, and there could be book reviews there that say not to read this book. Then I have a problem if I've read Lashon Hara.
Good, it happened to you and not me, huh? that's an interesting question. The truth is that the book reviewer himself, see, the problem is the book reviewer himself is doing it, not necessarily because of the beneficial purpose, he's doing it because he wants to make a living at it. And then he's stating his opinion based on a living. You've got no choice because you need to find out whether this is the book you need for your academic studies. It could be that you should... It's not so simple. You're right, it's not so simple. And newspapers, reading newspapers, there are problems. Right? Just because they're there doesn't mean they have to be read. Yeah, Howard.
Two things. It doesn't apply Lashon Hara against a goy, does it? And also, how about a goy talking about another goy, or a goy talking about a Jew?
Okay. First of all, I asked Rabbi Pliskin, the writer of the book, I asked him specifically that question about a Jew speaking about a non-Jew. Because when the Torah writes the law of Lashon Hara, it says you should not speak about your fellow man. Your fellow man, we understand, according to our tradition, is referring to Jew versus Jew. Now, he said to me, by the letter of the law, only because the Torah didn't discuss it, therefore by the letter of the law, it wouldn't be prohibited to speak Lashon Hara about a non-Jew. But by the spirit of the law, it doesn't mean the Torah is saying to you, okay, if his name is Goldberg, you can't speak about him, or if it's Murphy, you could. That's not what the Torah is saying. The Torah is saying that since generally you're involved with Jews, you cannot speak about your fellow man. Can you speak about non-Jews? No, you cannot. It is not within the spirit of the law to speak about non-Jews either. And if you do feel the need to speak about non-Jews, that means that the trait is still in you. The idea is to completely eradicate any need to degrade other people. And therefore, it is improper to speak Lashon Hara about non-Jews either. A non-Jew about a non-Jew, probably not. It's probably not one of the Noahide laws. Therefore, it would be permissible. Then they get all the fun. Right? A non-Jew can speak about a non-Jew. A non-Jew can speak about a Jew, probably the same thing. Right? They're not included in the Noahide laws. Right? But for a Jew to speak about a non-Jew is, he told me specifically, is not by the letter of the law, but is definitely included in the spirit of the law. Yeah.
If speaking bad about Jewish people gives the power to prosecute, why are Reform and Conservative Jews bashed so much?
Okay. The idea of bashing, right? The idea of bashing is a... I don't know if the word bashing is correct, right? If bashing is correct, we'll use the word bashing, that's okay too. The idea of bashing Reform and Conservative, I don't believe that Reform and Conservative Jews are being bashed. And if it is the Jews themselves that are being bashed, then that's not correct. The bashing is not on the Jews, the bashing is on the movement and on the people who are inciting other Jews in that direction. People who know better, and they're inciting other Jews. Somebody who knows better, and he's pushing Jews away from Torah, then he falls into the category of a Rasha. He's a wicked person. The laws of Lashon Hara do not apply to him. Your average Reform Jew who doesn't know his right from his left, right, that is not something, you don't have a right to speak about the Jew, but you do have a right to speak about the movement, because anything you say about Reform or Conservative, generally in front of a Orthodox or perhaps not Orthodox audience, will hopefully be beneficial in them seeing that there's something to check into Reform or Conservative, perhaps they're flawed. If you know that by bashing Reform or Conservative, then it's going to trigger off a negative response, in an adverse response in the people who you're speaking in front of, then better not to say it.
If speaking about the people who know better, they're considered wicked people that are bringing them to the side. That's not what the three cardinals said, though. He said Lashon Hara is worse than the three cardinals.
Because at that point, it's not Lashon Hara.
Okay.
When you're speaking, when Lashon Hara, the fact that something is derogatory does not make it Lashon Hara. What makes it derogatory or Lashon Hara is if it's derogatory and it's not allowed to be said. As soon as it's allowed to be said, it's not Lashon Hara. That's why people say, oh, you're good. Somebody asks me about somebody for a date. They want to know if somebody would make a good son-in-law. Oh, great. Here's my chance to speak Lashon Hara. Right? At that point, I better not speak it. But if I'm giving over the information because halacha requires me to give the information even though it's derogatory, then at that point it's not Lashon Hara. At that point it's a mitzvah for me to be speaking it. Right? Bashing, what you say, you have to be very careful here now. Bashing Reform and conservative Jews is inappropriate. Bashing any movement which is taking people away from Torah is perfectly appropriate. Completely appropriate. Okay, so one has to make sure to distinguish between the two. Okay, Ken?
I think I asked this before. What if you are accused of something, you know someone else did it, or you witness someone doing something, someone else is also accused?
If you're falsely accused, so it depends. If you're really going to take if you're going to get put away, you could certainly insist that I didn't do it, right? And if need be, then you're allowed to say who did do it, right? But if a person's insulted, when we speak about insulting also, where you should try to avoid, if possible, speaking about somebody else. If it's absolutely necessary, then you'd be allowed to do so. Okay? Now, just a few more points. The first thing, it's very important that the only way anybody could ever master these halachas, you've got to study the laws. The laws are available. There are many books that are out with the laws. You've got to familiarize yourself with the areas when it is permissible, when it's not permissible. You have to realize that small improvements, right? Some people say, but it's impossible. I'm never going to be able to not speak anything about anybody. Realize that small, minor improvements are also worthwhile. If last year you spoke a million words of Lashon Hara, I'm being kind. If last year you spoke a million words of Lashon Hara, and this week you kick it down to this year you keep it down to about 700,000, you've done very well this year. Net profit of 300, that's very well. You've improved. Our job is to improve. We can't get there all at once, right? Jacob, when Yaakov went to sleep, Yaakov had a dream. He saw a ladder reaching from earth to heaven. Right? Why did he see a ladder? Why didn't he see an elevator? Right? Why didn't he see a Star Trek beamer? Right? Just get in and it beams you up to heaven. Why did he see a ladder? The ladder teaches that you can only go one rung at a time. You got to climb the ladder slowly. You cannot be expected. We cannot be expected. God does not expect to see perfection overnight. What God wants to see is that we're striving for improvement. That's all we can do is strive for improvement. If you make a minor... Somebody who's running on the Chofetz Chaim gives an example. Somebody's walking the streets, right? And all of a sudden he sees that his wallet, he's got a leak in his wallet or his money pouch, right? And the gold coins he's been carrying have been dropping out steadily out of his pouch, right? And all of a sudden he sees, they start out with 100 of them and now about 10 or 15 have fallen out of his pocket. So what should he do? Right? At this point, well, I may as well throw the rest of them away. No, you try to salvage as much as you can. You try to salvage whatever you can because that's still worth something. So you've dropped a few. Fine. Person, you make an effort, you try to improve. You speak Lashon Hara once in a while. Fine, you make a mistake. Klap al chait. You know what that means? Klap al chait. I'm sorry, Hashem. And gay viter. That's the expression is. Say I'm sorry and keep on going. Right? We cannot expect to be improved. The same thing when you pray. Everybody has trouble. You daven Shemon Esrei. First he goes and davens, right? So here you are, you're davening. And finally you get near the end of davening, you realize you have near your siddur, right? Although you've been davening and your mind's been a million miles away, been around the world. Around the world, there's a movie Around the World in 80 days, around the world in 18 brachas, right? You've been a million miles away, right? And all of a sudden you realize with three or four brachas left to Shemon Esrei, all of a sudden you're back to earth. Somebody once said that if you're ever wondering who owes you money, you're trying to figure out who owes you money, daven. Bound to come to you while you're davening Shemon Esrei, because then you think about everything but the davening. Right? So if a person's sitting there, you're sitting there davening, right? The entire davening, you've been thinking about this, you've been thinking about baseball, all of a sudden, as you get to Modim, you realize, oh, I'm bowing over, what am I doing? Oh yeah, I'm in the middle of Shemon Esrei, right? You bow, you straighten up, right? So first, the normal attitude is, well, I've blown it. I haven't been thinking about what I'm doing up until now, I may as well just finish, I'll do it better next time. Mistake! From that point in Shemon Esrei on, try to concentrate and get the credit from that point on. Whatever the credit is, you get that credit from that point on. The same thing by Lashon Hara. Any type of minor improvements are worthwhile. There's the Gemara says, what do you do if somebody wants to speak Lashon Hara to you? Now this is very often a problem. What do you do? Somebody comes over to you and you see the motor is all revved up. Hey, I got to tell you something about it. Very rarely do people come running up to you, frothing at the mouth, when they have something good to say. Right? Something good to say. They tell you kind of all the time. a Lashon Hara, a good juicy Lashon Hara, right? Hey, you got to hear about Bernie. Now, you don't want to hear about Bernie because you're trying to be meticulous about it. Poor Bernie, right? You're trying to be meticulous about keeping the laws. So how do you avoid having somebody speak Lashon Hara to you? So the commentaries say, first of all, you have to try to, at a minimum, tell them, you know, it looks to me like this is going to be a Lashon Hara, right? And they say, no, you got to hear this, you got to hear this. If nothing else works, so the Talmud says, this is a statement in the Gemara. It sounds funny. It sounds like it came out of a children's book. It's a statement in the Gemara. The Gemara says, why is it that our fingers are wider at the base than they are at the front? So that if somebody comes to tell you Lashon Hara, you can take your framed fingers and plug them in your ears, right? The Gemara says, why do we have earlobes that hang? So if somebody wants to tell you Lashon Hara, just flip it over and cover it up, right? You have double coverage. Dangerous receivers, you put double coverage on them, right? If somebody wants to tell you Lashon Hara, you've got the earlobes and your fingers. That means, what's the Gemara telling us? Isn't that silly? It's a silly statement, right? You put your fingers in your ears, right? What's the Gemara? The Gemara is telling you that when a person comes to you and wants to speak Lashon Hara, and you're trying to emphasize to them, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm not interested in derogatory information. All you have to do, stick your fingers in your ears. That is a very good demonstration of where you're holding spiritually. You're at the level, you're willing to do something silly to stand up to for your principles. Chances are people are going to leave you alone. Now, when you go home, we'll have to continue this a little more tomorrow, but I can tell you that when you go home, you have to be extremely careful because your parents, your relatives, your friends are not yet in this Lashon Hara mode, right? They're not careful about what they're speaking about. Tread gently, right? Don't walk into the house, right? Put on your Chafetz Chaim mask when you walk into the house, right? You have to be very careful about, you know, you may hear a word or two of derogatory information, and you have to slowly break your family and friends into the fact that, I'd rather not. No, freeze! That's all Lashon Hara. Hold it. Don't do that, right? Take it. When people begin speaking, and this applies, incident, we'll speak about this more. Rabbi Carl, I'll be finished in 1 second. You get a rabbi talking, it takes a while. This applies across the board. Anything with your relatives, family, and friends where you see them doing things wrong, you have to realize that it is not necessarily your place to correct them. And you also, people make a mistake very often when they go back from yeshiva, there's a running commentary on their behavior, right? We become narrators. The person goes home, right? You sit down to dinner with your family, right? Dad, I am now going to wash my hands. It's going to remove spiritual impurity, right? And you start doing that. Then your father's sitting there and your father's looking, he doesn't know what happened, or when you wash in the morning, or anything you do, we have to feel this need to tell them, it's not our job. There shouldn't be a running commentary. If they're interested, they'll ask you. If they're not interested, it's not for us to volunteer the information. When it comes to Lashon Hara, the same thing. Somebody's saying something derogatory, go easy on them. In the early stages, go easy on them. Only after you've developed a relationship and they get used to where you're holding spiritually, then you can begin breaking the news to them. They can no longer sit around having a powwow and, you know, ripping everybody in town. All right? We're going to finish this tomorrow. We're going to go on to judging people favorably.